Welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. I want to start by sharing a story with which you may be very familiar by now. A 9-year-old boy, along with his older sister, mom and daddy, and his grandmother, they were going for a walk on a very warm, nice, pleasant summer weekend in London, Ontario. And all of a sudden, in a horrific act of violence, their lives were taken. Killed, murdered, all perished but one, just the 9-year-old boy. I wonder what's going to become of him. I wonder if he's going to wish that he never survived the accident or the act of violence. I wonder if he will become a person of forgiveness. I wonder if he will become a man of hatred and anger. I don't know. What I do know was that should have never happened. You agree with me, don't you? What about those 215 remains of the children that were found in the residential school in Kamloops of BC? That too was an act of injustice, an act of oppression, an act of violence done against people simply because they were of certain race. Just like that young boy's family, it happened simply because they were brown and they're Muslims. And in the residential schools, same thing occurred. An act of violence, an injustice, racism, simply on the basis of race. One of the survivors of that school in Kamloops, by the name of Hector MacDonald, in 2013 at the Truth and Reconciliation meeting, this is what he said, and I quote, "Golly, I learned a lot there from the school," he said. "I learned how to steal. I learned how to fight. I learned how to cheat. And I learned how to hate." These acts of racism, they are everywhere, not just in Canada, but around the world. This is what's happening in Israel between the Israelis and Palestinians, simply based on race and religion. And we hear similar things. Did you know, in the year 2021, today, there is a modern-day concentration camp in China against a certain ethnic group simply because of their race and their religion? It's happening. I just want to make this point very clear to you. Racism is real. Racism is a challenge to Canada. And racism is not only a challenge to our nation, but it is a worldwide challenge. And let me add just one more thing. Racism is a human race challenge. It's in me. It's in you. Maybe not in terms of racism, but some kind of discrimination. So I want to pray that the good Lord will give us grace and understanding. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, I do pray, by your goodness and your justice, make me right, make my heart right, and make everyone's heart right, everyone who is joining in this worship. No matter the race, no matter the gender, no matter any other categories into which we may fall, we pray for unity in diversity. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be reading from the book of Acts, chapter 10. We are in this series called Unity in Diversity, and we come to a most interesting passage in the book of Acts. Let me give the backdrop. In the Bible, there are two types of people, Jews and the Gentiles. Gentiles mean non-Jews. Anyone who is not a Jew is called a Gentile. Korean is a Gentile. A Dutch person is a Gentile. An African person is a Gentile. Anyone who is not a Jew is categorized, falls into Gentile people group. And it was believed, because of the ceremonial laws, now, ceremonial laws They are instructions in the Bible given to the Israelites, like their kosher diet. They were allowed to eat certain foods, and they were not allowed to eat certain foods. Though each they were permitted to have, they are called clean and pure or holy. The foods they were not permitted or allowed to eat, they were classified as unclean, impure, and defiled. Okay? Now, these ceremonial laws, the diet laws as such, they distinguished the Jews from the Gentiles. The Jews adhered to these laws, and therefore they were considered, they thought, they believed that they were clean, pure, and set apart, holy, as opposed to the Gentiles. It is in this context Peter had a dream, okay? But I will get back to that. Now, an angel of the Lord appeared before Cornelius, a Gentile, a Roman Italian person, a centurion, a soldier. And the angel said, go and send people to Joppa and get Peter and bring him back to you. And he will tell you everything that you need to know. So we pick it up from there. So let's use picture it method. This is a Bible reading method by which you see yourself in the story, in the narrative. All right? So hear the word of the Lord, Acts chapter 10. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely, no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please utilize the sermon notes, which you can download. You can hit pause right here and pause the preacher if you like. I'll be right here waiting. So here is the theme and the goal. I believe with all my heart, by the grace of Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe Christ wants you and me to know this truth. God doesn't play favorites, but every race He accepts. God doesn't play favorites, but every race He accepts. In verse 34, let's read this together. Now remember this. Worship is not something you watch or spectate. Worship is rather something you participate. It's something we do for the Lord. So I am inviting you to read together in one voice, verse 34. Then Peter began to speak, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears Him and does what is right." And that's why I believe God doesn't play favorites, but instead, every race He accepts. The word "every nation" in the Greek language in which the New Testament was written, that word is ethnos. It sounds familiar to you, doesn't it? It's the word from which we get like ethnicity or ethnic groups, ethnos. Did you know in the New Testament, in the Bible, when the word ethno was used, it is almost always referring to, guess what? The Gentile races. And God in the Holy Spirit saying, "I accept every ethnic group on the face of the earth." So I want to take the time and share with you how, in three ways, how we learn, receive, God doesn't play favorites, but instead, what does He do? Every race He accepts. Number one, write these words. None of us deserves to receive God's favor. None of us deserves to receive God's favor. Let me talk about the Jews and the Gentiles. I told you already, there are two types of people, right? Jews and the Gentiles, the non-Jews. Okay? Now, the Jewish people, they believed that through the ceremonial laws, like the diet observance and the circumcision and Sabbath keeping, so it was taught to them, they were brainwashed, indoctrinated, that they are better people, that by observing these things, the ceremonial laws, that they will receive God's favor, that they deserve God's favor. Let me read for you. It's better for me to read it to you than tell it to you. This is what preceded the encounter between Peter and Cornelius. Okay, as Cornelius was receiving the revelation by the angel of the Lord, something else was happening to Peter as well. So let me take you there. This is the same chapter, chapter 10, verses 9 through 16. Listen. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. Again, the ceremonial laws were given, and they were taught to the Jewish people to teach them there are clean things, unclean things, holy things, defiled things, pure things, and impure things, which include people. By observing these ceremonial laws, so they thought, mistakenly, that people could become pure or remain impure, or people could become holy and remain defiled. People could become become clean or remain unclean. And yet, God made it very clear to Peter, no one deserves to receive God's favor. That is to say, no one is good enough or able to earn God's favor or his blessings. None of us deserves to become such a person who can receive God's favor. Now, again, let me just show you the vast difference between the Jews and the non-Jews, the Gentiles. In verse 28, this is what Peter said to Cornelius and his friends and all the families in his house. You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile, because Jews are thought to be holy, clean, and if they associate with the Gentiles, guess what happens to them? They become unclean. So they felt, the Jewish people felt, they deserve to receive God's favor. In chapter 11, when Peter returned back to Jerusalem, this is what we read, verses 2 and 3. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers, that's the Jews, they criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them? Do you see the animosity and hostility in those words?" Every devout Jew used to say three prayers every morning. He would wake up and he'd look up to heaven and say, "God, I thank you that I am not a woman. God, I thank you that I'm not a slave. God, I thank you that I'm not a Gentile." You see, because the Jews felt by observing the ceremonial laws, they deserved to receive God's favor. And God made it very clear that is not his will. And that is not the truth. When we think, when we believe that we earn God's favor by our religious performance, when we observe God's laws, when we obey God, when we do the things that He commanded us, so many of us have this tendency to think, now God will bless me, now God will favor me because I deserve His favor. Have you met anyone like that? Someone who is religious, someone who is very devout, and because of their performance, they feel superior and they look down on everybody else. You know someone like that? If you don't, maybe you are one. Think about that, eh? Let me tell you a story. In my previous church back in Michigan, this was a, how do I say, really, really nice church. I respected the people there. I loved the people there, okay? But it was an affluent, well-educated, upper-class church. And everybody looked clean. They were well-dressed. They were wealthy. And one day, there was a man who came to church for the first time, and it was obvious that he didn't fit the culture. He didn't look like everybody else. He didn't wear like everybody else did. He had tattoos all over, piercings all over his face, and strange hairstyle, different hairstyle, I should say. Now, I was so proud because some of the members of the church, they received him well. However, not everyone did. Some felt, what's he doing here? Or others felt, I wish he could go to another church. You see? Now, again, not everyone, but on the outside, they couldn't help themselves. It's a natural tendency. If you think you deserve God's favor by your performance, then naturally, by deduction, it is inevitable that you look down upon people who are not like you. Let me read to you Matthew chapter 15. This is what Jesus said about ceremonial laws. Are you ready for this? This is a something so profound, so important. This becomes a lens through which we interpret the scripture. Listen to this. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Did you catch that? The ceremonial laws, when you observe, when you obey God's laws in terms of what you eat, in terms of circumcision, in terms of Sabbath keeping, they do not make you clean. But something else does. What makes you defile is not what you eat, but what comes out of your mouth. And what is that? Your heart. What is in your heart comes out through the mouth. And Jesus is saying, it is what's in your heart that makes you clean or unclean, makes you holy or defiled, or pure or impure. Jesus Christ fulfilled all the ceremonial laws, requirements, and he gives to us his purity. He gives us his holiness. He gives us his credit. So we receive Jesus, and when we do that, we no longer need to observe the ceremonial laws. So let's move on. Jesus doesn't play favorites, but instead, what does he do? Every race he accepts. Okay? No one, none of us deserves to receive God's favor. Second point, God accepts every race only by his grace. God accepts every race, every ethno, through what? Only by his grace. What do we know about Cornelius? We didn't have the time to read the entire chapter of 10, but this is what we know. He was a centurion in the Roman soldier, meaning he had 100 soldiers below him. 100 people reported to Cornelius. He was a man of influence and leadership, right? We also know this, that he was a devout God-fearer. And that's what the Bible says. That means he genuinely worshipped God of Israel. A devout, someone who is very, very committed. A real deal. Genuine article. What else do we know about Cornelius? He prayed regularly. Some translations say he prayed always without ceasing. Man of prayer. One more thing. He was generous to the poor. He gave alms to the poor. And those descriptions about Cornelius, that was repeated 3 times in the book of Acts chapter 10. 3 times. When that happens, when it's repeated, it's saying, God is saying, this is really, really important. So here's a man. In terms of morality, in terms of compassion for the poor, in terms of praying, in terms of fearing God devoutly, he had it all. And yet, what did the angel say to him? Cornelius, we are impressed with your performance. We are impressed with your observances. No. What did he say? He said, go get Peter. And he will tell you how to be saved. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? This man of virtue, man of character, man of morality, man of compassion, he still was not saved. He needed Jesus Christ's grace. Go get Pete, and he will tell you, he will show you how to be saved through the forgiveness of your sins in the name of Jesus. Friends, I gotta tell you, okay? God accepts every race only by his grace. If Cornelius was not saved with his excellent standings, his performance, then Victor Koh has 0 chance of being saved. You know what I'm saying? Okay. If he needed the grace of Christ to be saved, then so does every one of us. And that is an amazing, surprising grace. I need this. Acts chapter 10, verse 36, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Question for you. Do you notice anything strange? It says, the good news of peace. Oftentimes, we simply hear the phrase, good news of Jesus Christ, right? But here it says good news of peace through Jesus Christ. It doesn't say good news of hope, good news of joy, good news of love. It says what? Good news of peace. Interesting, eh? The writer of the book of Acts is Dr. Luke. He wrote his first volume, The Gospel of Luke, in the chapter 2, at the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. This is what he wrote. The angel of God saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace. Write that word. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. The good news of the birth of Jesus Christ is God's favor will rest upon those whom, on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. When you hear the word peace, what do you think it means? I think the first thought that you get is peace. That's like absence of war, isn't it? Absence of war. No more war, no more crying, no more killing, no more war, and therefore there will be peace. It's like the song that John Lennon once wrote. All I'm saying, give peace a chance, right? Okay? But that's not what this phrase means, good news of peace. Maybe some of you are thinking, oh no, I wasn't thinking about absence of war. I was thinking about more of the mental, emotional, psychological tranquility. Some of you moms are having a tough time with your little ones staying home all day long, and your home has become such a chaotic place, you go, oh, I need peace. I need tranquility. So what do? You go into the bathroom, shut the door, lock the door, fill out the bathtub with bubbles, and you sit in there, and you breathe in, and breathe out, you go, oh, peace. That's not what it means. You know what this means? Let me tell you. It means you are in enmity with God. The peace, the goodness of peace is referring to that you will have peace with God. No more hostility. Let me take you to Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Listen to this. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. It's when you are not saved by the grace of Christ, if the Holy Spirit has not come upon you, if the Holy Spirit has not revealed Christ to you, then you are hostile to God. You are in enmity with God. It doesn't say you are indifferent towards God. It doesn't say you are uncaring towards God. It says you are hostile to God. Very strong description, don't you think? Romans 5, verse 10. For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? The peace, the goodness of peace is we are in enmity with God. We made ourselves God's enemy. We made God our enemy. We became very, very hostile. The reason racism exists, the reason we discriminate people is this. We are discriminatory against other people, against other races. Why? Because we are discriminatory against God. Write these words. We are discriminatory against God. You say, hang on here, Victor. I may not believe in God. I may be indifferent toward God. But I don't hate God. I'm not His enemy. He's not my enemy. I just don't believe in Him. I don't think He's there. He doesn't exist. Let me clarify to you. Let me make it personal. Think of someone that you love dearly with all your heart. Is it your spouse? Your child? Parents? Or your best friend, your lover, or ex-best friends, ex-lover, you love this person with all your heart. In fact, you said, I love you. I am here for you. I want to serve you. I want to spend my time with you. And you say to that person, You have their face. You have their name. You say to him, her, you don't exist. I don't see you. I don't hear you. And I don't want to receive your love. How would you feel? How would you feel? That's exactly how God feels when you say to him, you don't exist. That's hostility. Strong, emotional, visceral hostility. In the words of the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, we killed God, you see. We killed God. We erased him from our life. We erased him from history. We erased him. We said, you don't exist. We don't hear you. We don't see you. And we don't feel you. Now, when you kill God, according to Nietzsche, and he's right, then you become God himself. When we say there is no God, when we push God away, when we erase him from our world, our life, then we become our own God. And when we do that, it is inevitable. It is inevitable that we have to feel superior over others, because if there's God, then God, we are drawn to him, we love him, we serve him, we worship him, and we serve and love our neighbors. But if we become our own God, then everything and everyone else exists for me. And therefore, it is not possible for us to not to feel superior over others. It's just not possible, because I become God, therefore I become the center of my universe, and you exist to build my heaven. Let me give you an illustration. Some time ago, my family and I were driving, and I saw a young man at an intersection with a billboard, handwritten words, "Please help hungry." Okay? And I said, Johanna Joshua, if that young man had the wits and the mindset to write that sign and stand at an intersection and beg for money, then he could certainly apply for a job. And then my daughter Johanna said, Dad, aren't you acting like you are God? How do you know what he's going through? Maybe he has mental capacity issues. Maybe he is sick. Maybe he can't hold a job. I don't know, but you think you know everything. You feel superior over him, don't you? Well, Johanna was right. I had to be humbled by my own daughter. And that's because I felt superior. Because I was feeling, hey, he should know better. But I came to my senses thanks to my own daughter. So God doesn't play favorites, but instead what? Every race he accepts. Third point, God reconciles us into one race. God reconciles us into one race. When Peter was explaining to Cornelius and everyone in his room, in his house, this is what he said, okay? He said something about speaking in tongues. Did you catch that? Let me take you there. Verse 15 and 16. Okay. This is Acts chapter 11. Excuse me. 15 and 16. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He said, Peter said, they began to speak in tongues, and I remember it happened at the beginning too. What's he referring to? He's talking about the Pentecost. At the Pentecost, in chapter 2 of Book of Acts, they were speaking all different tongues, all different ethnic groups came together to Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit came, and everyone began speaking in tongues, the language of the Holy Spirit. So all these diverse groups began speaking, if you will, one language, meaning God is bringing all people into one race. Ephesians 2 says it the best. Verse 11, therefore, Remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done by the body in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he, Christ himself, is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through him, Christ, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. God reconciles us into one race. Let me end with the following applications. Therefore, shall we confess our own sins of discrimination? Starting with me, everyone is a racist. Everyone is discriminatory. The only difference is to what extent. So let's repent and confess. And also, let's pray for reconciliation. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for grace. And pray for reconciliation. And let us be sensitive to the people who are different than we in terms of race, religion. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, we got to stand up. We got to stand up for the First Nations people. We got to stand up for Muslims who are suffering. We got to stand up, even though because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, we got to declare that in him there is forgiveness, there is understanding, and there is justice. And lastly, let us all become an agent of God's reconciliation in our spheres of influence. Me in my church, you in your schools, all of us in our neighbors, in our social networks. Let us become agents of God's reconciliation. And lastly, you need to be baptized. You need to come to Christ. You need to receive God's grace. I can help you with that. As the Holy Spirit convicted you, please contact me. And lastly, I kept saying lastly, but for the last time, this is the last time. Share this with somebody. Would you please? You know someone who has been hurt by racism or discrimination. Share this with them. Or you know someone who has been giving it to others. Please become an agent of God's grace and reconciliation. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Christ, we receive your favor simply because you are kind and good, not because of our performance, but because of the performance of Jesus Christ. Now help us to go and make a difference in your world. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.